Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense.
We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies.
Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com to get comprehensive show notes, relevant links,
or to just leave comments.
Follow us on Twitter at School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hi, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is August 30th, 2021, and what you're about to listen to, the last free-for-all release of our long-running bonus personal development show, The Discomfort Zone. Far from the last episode of The Discomfort Zone, but certainly the last one that you will hear in this feed. And Andrew and I are joined by my friend and one of my favorite collaborators over the last couple of years, Danny McCarthy. Danny is the host of the Story of Nowhere podcast and the author of the book, The Story of Nowhere. Many of you who've been listening for a while are probably familiar with Danny from the famous School Sucks / Unregistered podcast from Salem, Massachusetts back in August 2017. That was where I first met Danny and his then girlfriend, Alice, now his wife. But over the span of more than a year, Danny and I also produced another supporter-only show called In Pursuit of Utopia. About halfway through, we were joined by our friend, Kevin Cole. And there's one more episode in that series coming your way. It is a monster on the British Empire. I have been slowly chipping away at editing it for, I don't know, 8 months. So, you know, what I'm saying is it's almost ready. You'll hear that in September. Now, this episode of The Discomfort Zone, I'll speak for myself here, was an especially fun one. We recorded it at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest for the very first time in front of a live audience. And I wanted you all to get a feel for that event. There is going to be more from the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest coming very soon. So there you go. I thought it was worth sharing with thousands instead of hundreds. Now, Danny's website is thestoryofnowhere.com. If you want a direct link to the book, it's storyofnowhere.com/book. Danny mentions at the very beginning of the book that the In Pursuit of Utopia series was actually helpful in clarifying a lot of his writings. And it's not like this came out of In Pursuit of Utopia. Danny was well on his way and hard at work on the book and the story before we even started producing In Pursuit of Utopia. But I'm still very proud that I could contribute as somebody to discuss these topics with or bounce ideas off of in this larger project that Danny had been working on for a long time. So in the early goings of the conversation here, you'll get a sense of why I wanted to do this show with Danny in this format versus other options that we were considering. But I will say this up front. I had concocted a potentially chaotic format for this live episode of The Discomfort Zone. But the day before we recorded, I had a fairly long conversation with Danny just standing in the middle of the field in the sunshine. And I said, you know what? I would like you, Danny, to be our only guest on this Discomfort Zone. At one point, I was thinking we could do up to a dozen people, but I'm really glad we chose to focus on Danny's story. And you will see what I mean as the conversation plays out. And if you want to hear dozens and dozens more episodes of The Discomfort Zone, perhaps the finest subscriber-only show in all of podcasting, plus all the episodes of In Pursuit of Utopia, plus Picture of the Month Club and select University weekly discussion groups, plus brand new supporter-only content coming after the podcast wraps up in less than a couple of weeks, please go to patreon.com/schoolsucks. You can also go to schoolsucksproject.com/AV to see all our support options. There's a lot more to do after the podcast portion of the School Sucks Project wraps up. And, of course, the very first thing to do after our final episode airs is the Mindset and Mastery Virtual Summit with Nathan Fraser and myself. That is September 11th and September 12th. You can go to mindsetandmastery.com to learn more and to register. All right. Thank you for listening. Here we go. Danny, what if you went into work one day and just said, put me in charge here?
They might do it.
I had this.
This is what you do.
This is what you do.
Okay. Because no one ever says that.
Right. These building Chryslers don't care how they turn out. Thanks be and union means he's here to stay. These building Chryslers trying not to burn out. Doing airbag installations.
All right, let's start.
In 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to the Discomfort Zone. What a turnout on this one side of the room here. This is thank you all for coming.
The first live Discomfort Zone.
How uncomfortable do you feel?
Very uncomfortable because I'm going to need you people in the back there, beard, vape guy, come up to the front. Come on. Come close. We like you. We're friends. We have 50% of the room. It's totally packed.
Yes.
The other 50% is completely empty.
Right. Well, it's
like you're the bride here, I'm the groom, and I have no family.
So I'm worried that there are people here. Can just by show of hands, can people show us who doesn't know what the Discomfort Zone is and you were expecting something else? So okay. What we are going to do now is recruit a volunteer from the audience.
Sucks to be you.
Somebody that we don't maybe know very well, but we know that they know what the Discomfort Zone is.
Okay.
Do you want to pick somebody like that?
Yeah, I do. Carrie. Come on. Come on. Yeah, she'll come up here. We need you to explain something for us.
No, I can bring you a mic. Everyone that we call on should get a mic brought to them.
So, Carrie, I need you to do me a favor here.
Okay.
Explain to the new people what the Discomfort Zone is.
Oh, shit.
Right into that mic.
Okay. So, this is the Discomfort Zone. Is a subscriber-only podcast bonus show for the School Sucks Project.
And
Portman Show, which formerly Puke in the Gang.
About
discomfort. And punching the world in the dick.
Okay, so how did you punch the world in the dick recently?
Oh, shit. I put air in my tires all by myself today.
After your multi-100-mile drive up to Michigan.
Correct, from Georgia.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Carrie.
So, Brett.
Yes?
Dick punching or introductions?
Dick punching. And how uncomfortable is it for you, Danny, having to sit here in silence all this time?
The silence doesn't hurt too bad.
Okay.
It's the talking that might
It's the talking part that will be harder. Okay, so we like to start every episode. We kind of run it like a mastermind. One of the first things we do is we celebrate our achievements, which we call punching the world in the dick. My rule for this dick punching is it has to be event-related. It has to be related to the MPLF.
It's a tough one because we haven't been here very long.
Plenty of great things have happened.
Okay. Such as?
Oh, well, I mean, I... Let's see. The showers. Oh, my gosh. I will steal the showers. If you have not used the showers here yet, like, what do you think showers would be like camping?
Ungood.
Yeah. That's not how they are. They're absolutely wonderful. And I've taken one.
So that's your dick punching.
That the accommodations are very comfortable. You know what else? Here's a great idea that I had yesterday. So I get to the tent, and Gretchen... past Discomfort Zone guest says, do you need anything for your tent? And I said, this is very decadent, but yes, one thing that I need from the Meijer grocery store is a box fan. And what a difference this made. So that's like two things right now, just about the accommodations in general.
Sure. My dick punching was just sitting around a little table, which could have been a bonfire, but it wasn't late enough yet, and basically pouring my heart out to a complete stranger about my problems in life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, just when before, did this happen?
Like an hour ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't happen?
No, it happened.
Oh, it did? And it went well?
Sure. No resolution, of course.
Okay. But somebody listened?
Yeah.
And you made a friend?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Don't have another name.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they look like?
A little.
Is that person here?
I can't tell. No.
All right. So.
More importantly, Danny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Who are you? And.
No. Don't tell us who you are yet. Tell us. Tell us your win from this event so far.
Well, getting here in the first place was a pretty strong win for us. I mean, we didn't crash the car.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't driving, though, so I can't take credit for that one. Probably the biggest thing was, well, aside from not making the mistake of thinking that I got approved to have yesterday and today off of work and then realizing at the last minute that I actually didn't have the days off and then finding out I was fired, that's
Whoa.
Good. That would suck. But that didn't happen.
Oh,
we're good.
Oh,
we're good.
Wow.
Getting fired.
What a guy.
Great dick punching.
So aside from that non-event, I would say the biggest thing was avoiding staying up too late last night and getting too drunk. I actually managed to stick to my new bedtime that I've imposed on myself.
Which is?
Let's not get too specific, but I would say somewhere between 1:30 and 2:30.
Holy moly.
You were up six liters than Andrew was.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any alcoholic beverages at least an hour, hour and a half before I went to sleep, which, well, it's good for you to not sleep immediately after drinking.
Right.
In case you guys
this is my plan, constantly. Get drunk early. Get really drunk really early.
Morning is better.
If possible.
Right.
If you don't have work to do.
Well, it helps.
Wait, don't you have a union job?
Yeah, I can do heroin if I wanted
to. Job. I'm really excited for this because this is a last minute change, which I think is perfect for the kind of content that we try to create. And I had a great idea for how to run this discomfort zone at a live event in, you know, I mean, this is a full tent. Look at this tent. Look at both sides of this tent. It's pretty full.
We evened it out.
It's pretty full, audio listeners. Oh my God, yeah. So I said, I have this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
We just put everybody in a line.
Mm-hmm.
We let them each come up and have one problem, and we solve it.
Okay.
We give them 30 minutes each.
30 minutes?
Yes.
So the we'll be here till Wednesday.
The show is one day long. So
this is like if Frasier had a podcast.
So Ooh. I love this idea. Andrew loves this idea.
Do I?
Then we find out our time slot is only 1/24th of a day. So we have to make a new plan last minute. And my girlfriend, Gabriella, and I are walking around the campground, just seeing what everybody's tents are all about and sites are all about. And we run into Danny, who I talked to a little bit last night. Mm-hmm. But we really didn't have time, but we still haven't had time to get in. Even this isn't going to be time to get into everything that I think we should get into. But you started telling me about some transitions that you were having right now. And I started thinking, this should be the show. Because Danny and I are actually in very similar positions with kind of like what we're looking out as far as the future is concerned, mostly related to media and influence, like change is coming. And Andrew, this is also in your wheelhouse because you don't know anything about Danny or anything about his situation. And that seems like the problem that you love to have or love to be able to address. So I was like,
those are the easiest
perfect
problems to solve, the ones I'm most ignorant to.
Or, yeah, it seems that way, I guess. So we're going to give it a try with Danny. So usually the way we do this is Andrew and I take turns expressing a problem that's personal or professional, and once in a while we rotate a third or a fourth person. And we've had young Alex Bell on the show, Drew Sample's been on the show, Gretchen, who I already mentioned. So
young
we've
Nick.
Had some guests. Yeah. Oh, yeah, young Nick Hazelton has been on the show. Bringing in a third person is something that we definitely like to do. And I thought that you had, at this point, just a really, really interesting problem to put out there and to put out to this group and to put out to what's probably going to be my whole audience and discuss. So I don't know where you'd like to start with that.
Well, let me ask some questions here so I can get some context.
Thank you, Danny, for starting for me.
What do you do?
I work on an assembly line for Ford Motor Company, building pieces of engines.
Why would you say who you worked for on this show?
He's dead. Henry Ford's been dead for a really long time.
How old are you?
26.
26, assembly line, W-2 job. Union job.
Yes, sir.
UAW.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Local 1250.
I mean, you could just fucking call it quits now and just ride that for the rest of your life.
Well, that is that one option that I have really refused to consider because I've got other interests. But yes, that's generally the consensus of what people in my position do.
What other interests?
Well, I wrote a book, and I do my own podcast.
That book is?
That book is called The Story of Nowhere.
And that podcast is?
Picking up a copy. The podcast is the same name, The Story of Nowhere Podcast, storyofnowhere.com. I like to study history, philosophy, sociology, blah, blah, blah. I've got a whole mishmash of different interests that don't involve putting the front engine covers onto I-4 engines.
Yeah, they could have been V8s.
I used to do, well, I did the V6, not the V8.
Yeah, and still.
So what do I do about this? Do I find a place where they're building V8s?
Good luck. That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, then I'm screwed.
You need a time machine. Geez, I think you leverage your opportunities that you have, milk that for everything it's worth, and branch out from there. Like, plant seeds every opportunity you can. Problem solved. Show's over.
See? Next. Next. Let's spend a little more time with Danny to practice everyone who's next. Okay. How much time do you think you can do this for? How does it feel to do that every day? And I mean, to do this kind of intellectual work, and then it's not like your job is easy, obviously, but it's not what you love. You're making good money. You have job security. How long could you do it for, first of all, to build up a platform, you know, or a safety net for what you really want to do?
Well, this is the question I've really been wrestling with ever since I got the job. How long am I willing to put up with it? And I mean,
why'd you take it, by the way? Why'd you take the job?
Well, because before that, I was working at a pizza shop, mm-hmm. which has, I mean, the job security was always there. Pizza places, at least the one I was at, it wasn't in any risk of going out of business. I was good at it, but the pay was significantly less. The hours were less. The work was more demanding than the factory, yeah. et cetera.
When you said pizza, a man like sighed audibly. Ah, which brings us to how we met, how Danny and I actually first met. So Joe off mic said, what was that called? A gasp. Joe gasped when you said pizza parlor. Joe spent 18 years at Ford. Has no microphone. But so Joe brings up a very, very good point, and it's Danny and I met, what was that, 4 years ago?
Four or five.
Yeah, it was 2017. It was August 2017. We met at an event that I was doing with Thaddeus Russell in Salem, Massachusetts. Danny showed up with his then girlfriend or fiance?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend, now wife, Alice, who'd like to have a few words with you too, Andrew. We talked about that at dinner.
The fuck did I do?
Because she listens to The Discomfort Zone. She had quite a few issues with some of your claims. So,
man,
but also,
I have to say, earlier...
She's right there.
Okay. This is very discomfortable sitting up here and looking out at all you people.
This guy's especially taking
because
pictures with a disposable camera. What is that?
It's a phone.
Oh.
Brett thought it was one of these...
It's a Google Pixel 4. Oh.
From 6 feet away with bad eyesight, it looks like a Kodak disposable phone.
It was a smartphone after all, but you just came up with a great idea for a phone case.
So, okay, Alice, here's how comfortable I am right now. After hearing that, earlier, going into this, before walking up on stage and sitting down here, I was introduced to a total stranger by someone who knows me, and they said, oh, this is Andrew. He's the guy with all the problems.
Wait, who said
that?
And
I thought, oh, this is fantastic. I'm so happy that I'm going to sit in front of a bunch of people later.
Will you reveal
the guy with all the problems.
Will you reveal who said that?
Yeah, sure. Our friend Nikki.
Said you're the guy with
all the problems.
A lot of discomfort zones are driven by your problems, which I think is fine.
But
That's actually a solution. It's about half the show, yes. So that's actually, I think, a solution is to like want to do this when you feel like you have a problem. I think that's great.
Oh, I got plenty of problems. I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I think that's a compliment, if anything, that you're paying yourself.
Sure.
Where were we? All right, so we meet 2017. Danny's 22 years old. Danny and Alice camp, even though you said camping was normal, even though everyone was like so impressed that you came to an event and camped.
Wait, who's impressed by that?
Not people here. They camp. Yeah. But it, like this was, we were in a city for like an event that was in a hotel. So people were impressed that people showed up to like camp.
I remember showing, the weird part for me wasn't so much the camping. It was that we camped and then we walked like, what, an hour and a half into town. It was pretty hot, too. Mm-hmm. And for some dumbass reason, I decided to wear dress pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who was I trying to impress?
Doesn't like, sound dumb. I like it.
They were green dress pants, too.
I like
they're
it even more.
And I was wearing this shirt, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, that doesn't go with the dress pants.
It doesn't.
Sorry.
This is the issue. And I had really long
this
hair,
is an issue.
So I looked like a complete buffoon. Clown, absolute clown. So the fact that anyone left any positive impression at all is a feat in and of itself.
So we're doing a podcast kind of like this at the end of the event, except Danny and I are 4 years younger, and you're Thaddeus Russell. But the setup is almost exactly the same. And Thad is so emotional about this guy, right? Like, wasn't that... It was kind of a beautiful moment, but Thad was like...
So you're telling me I'm really, really, really enthusiastic about prostitution.
He was just so impressed with this young man, and that was kind of like... You were in the world of ideas just on your own then, and that was kind of like where you started to make some connections and meet some people and think about podcasting and writing and starting a website. Like, that was... That was the pretty much the point, or right around then, right?
At that point, I had already written a book, but I don't talk about that one. It's very bad. I would say for about a year leading up to that, I had been seriously thinking about, gee, I ought to do something with ideas and thoughts, and maybe write some of them down and maybe talk about them, but it didn't really become real until that event.
You are so much better than every other person. If that's what you're thinking at 22 years old.
I mean, there were drugs and alcohol, too. And don't get the wrong idea.
Even more reason that you're better.
Okay, fair. I'll take that.
So that's a great foundation. Well, Andrew, talk a little bit more about what you mean. Just because most people that age are shitheads.
Yeah. Well, how were you when you were 22?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah. I had a bucket full of shit that I would just dump on my head constantly. And that's all I knew.
I mean, I'm sure we were both doing... what's a cool thing when you were doing or you were doing around that?
A lot of pot and disc golf.
Okay.
Disc golf?
You're great at Frisbee.
Yeah. And how has that worked out for professional success?
I don't know what did I felt like I was drawing a lot in college.
Drawing?
Yeah, I was taking home some drawings that I was like really happy with. I ran a fucking building of sex offenders. And I'll build out the context of that a little bit. Because I left out like one or two really important details.
Prostitution and age of consent. Huge fan.
I was an educator. They put these kids in a separate place, and I had to be in charge of the education at that place. So that's what I did. I was 22 or 23. So I said I would come up with something cool. So I lied.
Well, you must have been better than a lot of people then. If you were put in charge of something like a building, what with people?
No, you should have seen the building.
I mean,
the people who ran this school would put people who worked there to quit. Now, I did go and say, put me in charge there. Let's just see what happens. And I had stayed there for like 2 years, but it was awful, and I didn't see any other impressive adults while I was there.
Danny, what if you went into work one day and just said, put me in charge here?
They might do it. I think this
is what you do. This is what you do. Okay, I can...
Because no one ever says that.
Right.
I don't want to be in charge of that place. But it's horrifying. You got to show up. Listen, you have to show up early.
Oh, I know.
And you have to leave late.
I'm in charge. I know what it's like to be in charge.
Well...
I don't know how I got there.
No, it's not good.
No, it's the worst.
No, I mean...
But you can do it. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Okay. Just do that and then move on. But be in charge of everything you do.
I'm in charge of my exact position on the assembly line.
But who's above you?
Many people. There's a team leader.
What's their name? Give me a name.
First, last?
It's fine.
Oh, okay. Hunter.
Hunter. Okay. Is Hunter better than you?
In what way?
Anyway.
Yes.
What way?
Hunting.
Okay. Is that work-related?
Literally.
Okay.
Yes.
But work-related?
No, it's not work-related.
Okay, why don't you get rid of Hunter?
Get rid of him?
Yeah.
Because I don't want his job. It sounds awful. He's got to babysit all of us. He's got to show up early.
See, you know
he's
got to
leave late. He's got to do all the paper. I don't have to do paperwork. I do paperwork for tax and whenever they do the tax thing.
Why do you want him to advance in this place?
I want him to advance everywhere.
Okay, but why here? What if he gets trapped there? Isn't that a possibility? Because, like, the advice that I was getting ready to push out is like...
Yes, give your advice. Sorry.
Build enough of a foundation financially with this is a lesson that I learned. I should have worked for 3 or 4 more years before I started trying to make money from what I did, right? Which is not an easy thing to do. I know some people do it, and it's probably harder now than it was then. The niches are changed. The market has obviously changed a lot. So if you wanted to transition into working in the world of ideas, and Andrew, this is still part that you don't know, but Danny... Just, I think you do an incredible job, which is like as soon as we started talking about this, the way you put ideas together, the capacity of your mind, it's like, I can't believe you're 26, right? You are extremely wise. And Danny and I have worked a lot.
I have to admit.
You've heard some of Danny.
I know a little bit of Danny.
Okay, on my show.
Yeah. Utopian Societies.
The Utopian Societies.
Right. And yeah. I'm very disappointed you didn't mention Harmony, Pennsylvania. Which is like 20 minutes from where Brett and I both live.
Look, man, you could have gotten a hold of Brett. You could have gotten on the show. You could have talked about it.
I've been on the show.
You could have been on In Pursuit of
Utopia. I'm on the show.
I haven't heard you on In Pursuit of Utopia, man. There are more than one show.
Oh.
This is a whole network.
A whole Brettwork.
A Brettwork. There you go.
So, is there anything you just want to interject about...
No, I like where you're going,
yeah.
And I'm going to build off of that and pose a counter argument.
Okay. Don't follow your dreams.
No, I think to do what Brett was saying, I think you can maybe build some momentum by controlling everything that's in front of you at the moment and then running it through, kind of hitting the ceiling as fast as possible and needing to move on. So be Hunter, max out being Hunter. And then be Dave, or whoever's next.
That's actually the guy above Hunter.
I knew that. Okay, how could it not be Dave? All right, then who's above Dave?
You tell me, man.
Henry.
No.
Ford the 19th.
But how do you know with that advice, like, let's just proof that a little bit, that Hunter and Dave... didn't want to be guys like Danny before they got trapped into Hunterdom and Davedom.
Because if you're not ambitious enough and you're just like, okay, I'll do this for a while until never comes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you max out as Danny and then you max out as Hunter and you max out as Dave, you keep going and eventually you go, well, shit, this all has sucked. And now I have no choice but to give it all up and step away. But now I'm stepping away from a much, much higher position.
How long has your life sucked?
5 years.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
That's me answering as me. So after 5 years of nominal pay increases and promotions and title changes and all that, I went, well, geez, the next level is unreachable unless someone dies, and I'm not quite ready to kill somebody yet. So let's quit and take a lower paying job that offers much, much more freedom.
So is the reasoning behind that, aside from just getting in the habit of doing everything as best as you can, to actually have money saved up, like sort of what Brett was saying, had he worked longer, there would have been more of like a nest egg?
A runway.
Okay, fair enough. So that's your point, is that if I stay there and if I pursue whatever the highest goal is in that place, I'll actually have more resources later to do what I want.
But more important than the financial runway is the ability to just... plow through the shittiest stuff, being in charge of people. Do you know what people are like?
Yes.
They're the worst.
Right.
Fair. If you're in charge of them, you can go off and do anything. Like, I have no real skills, yet I've achieved some levels of success by doing nothing but being in charge of people.
Have you ever worked a union job?
No.
Okay.
I fought the unions.
Oh, good for you. So here's how it goes at this place. The manager class, they do a lot of work, and they are not union. They are bustling around the factory. They're actually responsible for things.
Yeah, they're the people who get things done.
Correct. Right, they're busy dealing with all the people, mm-hmm. whereas in the union position, I don't really have much to do. I have one job on the line, I do it. And then, and here's the nice thing about my position, is it's busy work, I'm frantic for parts of the day, but I can, depending on the jobs I'm working, I could bring in a book, I could bring in a notebook, and I could like read and take notes and do, by not pursuing the higher positions, I can do my job, what I'm expected to do, perfectly well, and then also sneak in some of my own nerd shit.
So
on the side.
This is what I thought the conflict emerging would be, right? So it's kind of like, I'm not saying you work in a toll booth, right? But have you ever driven by a toll booth just from people who've just maybe been in different worlds and gone, I wonder what I could do like for myself if I worked in there?
Alice used to work in a toll booth, and I was jealous of that job. Oh, my God.
I guess the suicide rate for toll booth workers is actually really high because a lot of them don't realize what else they could be doing in there, maybe.
Yeah. It's the greatest constant interruption ever. Must be awful.
Well, yeah, okay, so there's that. There's some interruption, but what could you get going in a toll booth? Or, you know, we know lots of people who've worked union jobs, and obviously there is, you know, in many industries like that, pressure to like, hey, don't make a lot of noise.
Right.
Don't make the rest of us look bad. People are told things like that. So if he's existing at that level, Andrew is making a good point that if that's the level that you work at, right, I think there is a risk. And I know this from some experience where my career was a very, very tough slug through like education until for a variety of through a variety of different jobs. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to retire and just do what I love to do. And I think there's something to be said for like pushing through, whether it's the challenges of people, the challenges of a really like bureaucratic work environment. Like maybe it is good to not just kind of like lay low, like you're in the toll booth or you're the union worker, just because you think you can, you know, jump away to do some of your intellectual work.
I'm all for moving from the toll booth to the gatehouse.
What's the gatehouse?
It's just a larger little booth that you sit in.
But what does it represent in this?
It has
example?
An air conditioner.
Okay, no, I get you. but there's two different versions of that advice, and I think that is a good point that you do have to kind of push through difficulty, right? And yeah, you've worked hard, but yeah, it might be good to invest. Like if you're planning to like build a nest egg of investing, let's say 4 to 6 years. And this is obviously, I have no idea what kind of plans you and your wife have at this point. I know you just bought a house. I know that's part of it. But push through that for 4 to 6 years, and why just stay at the same place, like get as much growth there as you can, and then just, you know, make a commitment, you know, be accountable to yourself to exit at a certain point with a very clear plan of what you want to do.
And the most important thing about that growth is momentum.
Yeah.
Because that momentum doesn't necessarily tie directly to that job or that company.
Right.
It ties to everything. So when you leave there, you want to keep that momentum going. So here's the perfect scenario, right? The next 4 to 6 years, you keep moving up and moving up and moving up, and eventually you address your issues with Andrew from past episodes of The Discomfort Zone, and then you move on, you do your own thing, you become very successful, and then if you live long enough, you get back to a position where you're just doing something repeatedly for somebody else and you're happy again at the very end of your life, and then you die.
But this might seem absurd because we're telling you what to do without all the information that we need. So what I asked you today, and what I think is the most important part of this, like psychically for you, is what do you want to do, and what did you start to see as the path to doing it?
Okay, well, what I want to do is a pretty difficult question to answer. I mean, I can vaguely answer that I would like to produce some sort of media, be it a book or a podcast or videos or whatever, basically just made for the people who I know are out there somewhere who share similar interests to me. So historical stuff, philosophical stuff. I know it's sort of academic, but nonetheless, that's what I'm interested in doing. And I'm not interested in going to any sort of university. That seems like a waste of time at this point. Mm-hmm. So as far as nailing it down, what I want to do, and giving it a name, I couldn't really do that. But is it too vague just to say podcaster? Is that too... I don't know. It's not specific enough. It's
no,
not.
I think this is great.
Okay.
Because what are you doing right now?
Podcasting and building engines.
And?
Trying to sell a book to this room full of people.
Right. And that book is?
The Story of Nowhere.
And the podcast is?
Story of Nowhere.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
So, but what you're doing now isn't stopping you from doing that. You can do both.
Okay. So,
so
if
you
I
aren't
were...
completely tied up in that, so you can easily do that. And move on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And as much as this might feel like everything right now, it'll feel like nothing 10 years from now when you've accomplished a million other things and still made money for you and your family and built everything you wanted to build on the side. Like, at your job, you get benefits. Part of those benefits are something that someone like Brett or myself doesn't get to realize. Like, you can take a week off of work, and they're just like, yeah, we'll just still pay you. Like, you're not coming to work, but you're still getting paid. Do you know what that's like?
No. Well, I'm a little.
Okay, I don't. I still have to be involved. Like, yeah, I can be here.
Well, we have, both have some, like, residual forms of income.
I got to take care of things, though.
I know, but there's income that would be residual.
Sure. But he can just leave work with approval and still get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you just use that time to focus solely on that? How much progress could you make?
That's what I would love to do. And I mean, with the COVID lockdown stuff, there was a period where I was off, and that's when I finished the book. I mean, that's what I did. That's when I got the podcast started, and I recorded like 4 episodes at that point just to have in the can. So, I mean, when I'm not working at Ford, that's what I'm doing. And I'd love to have more time to work on that stuff. And like I said before, even if I'm at Ford and I'm working a job in which time allows it, I'll be working on this stuff while I'm there. And I suppose a concern would be if I were to take some sort of higher position at Ford, I would lose even more of the free time. You know what I mean? So I certainly wouldn't be able to spend any time working on this stuff there. But also I would have less time at home, and I'd also have less mental energy in the tank to devote to this stuff, like deep research of old historical documents.
I get that, but the less that you have available, the stronger your muscles become and the more you can deal with. And during your 20s and 30s, your prime earning years, that's when you should take on everything you possibly can. And when you reach my age, like 76, then you can be like, I'm just going to go away for the weekend. Then you can kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit.
All right, so just go as hard as possible right now.
I kind of believe that, in a way.
And Brett, your thoughts?
Because when you fuck up, it's not a big deal because you're going so fast.
I talked to your wife about that advice.
Oh, yeah, she might have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, sorry.
Yeah. I think... I don't think we fully discovered if you feel like your job is an opportunity cost, if you're just telling yourself your job is an opportunity cost. Or if the envisioning of some higher, I mean, you just kind of hinted at this, higher level job, better paying job would clearly be an opportunity cost. But with the job you have right now, how is that, do you feel, based on what you want to do? And it's fine, obviously, that probably still needs some clarity, but how is that costing you opportunities? What could you do, what would you do if you had that time back every week?
If I had that time back, I would basically probably slot out a solid, depending on the day, between 4 and 9 hours of just working on whatever sort of intellectual endeavor I'm working on at that moment. I would be able to churn out podcast episodes more frequently of a wider variety. Whereas, you know, right now I am working on a large project that's taken well over 2 months. And, you know, I could have done that quicker had I had that time off of work. But also there's, before work, I'll start working on something and then I have to interrupt that and then leave the house, go to work, get settled in, and the sort of nerd work I can do while I'm at Ford, while it may be pertaining to the project I'm working on at home, it's not like I have my computer there and I'm working on the actual project. Maybe I've just got a related book and I'm taking some tertiary notes on the subject. But nonetheless, it's not nothing, of course, and I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining. But it's mostly the interrupting of the process, and also even beyond just the work that I would like to be doing, I find the long hours and the particular shift that I work to be sort of detrimental to my own ability to get a sound sleep schedule, which I'm recently learning to address now. So that problem is sort of being corrected.
By going to bed at 2:30 in the morning?
Well, when I'm at home, it's 1:30. This is vacation. So I get up. I don't get up in the afternoon anymore. I get up in the morning now. So that's good. But part of the reason I used to go to bed really late and sleep in, because since I was in high school, I just worked, you know, the late shift in all the different jobs I had. But I guess that's not unique to Ford. But anyway, the point is that interrupting what I'm actually interested in doing to go to another place, to do something else, it has a weight intrinsic to it that draws away from energy that I could be spending on these projects. And yeah, you say go all the way right now while I'm in my youth. And I get that. I agree. And that's what I've been doing. I mean, you know, I had this job when I wrote the book and all the podcasts I've done up until this point. It's all been doing both at the same time. So I know I can do that. But right now it's to the point where I need to seriously consider just how long do I want to stay at Ford while maintaining doing both. What capacity of a worker do I want to be at Ford? And also, the third thing that we haven't really even talked about are other endeavors that I'd like to get involved in, such as like permaculture and all that kind of stuff on my property that I just bought. So like actually having an income based on the land I live on, so the house is not a liability but an asset, etc. So trying to figure out how to juggle all of these different things and in what to prioritize, what to spend most of my energy on, and what to move away from. And obviously Ford is the thing out of those three that I'd rather not be doing, but it happens to be the most lucrative. It's the most draining, and yet it is actually the one feeding me the most income.
And I get that. And there'll be a certain point where you have to just stop it altogether.
Mm.
But I think you need to try to max that out first. Like, I don't know. When I think about myself, I've never regretted, you know, not trying to take on more. I've never been happy by turning down an opportunity. The biggest regrets I have is just not trying to do more.
Okay. I mean, I get that. I relate to that. That's...
And the more
the inability to say no, I guess, to an opportunity.
Sure, but you have to say no to lots of things to capitalize on everything that is right in front of you, right? And the more you do of that, the better you feel when you do just step away entirely. Like when you come to Central Michigan to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, you just feel that much better about being able to do that and leave everything behind. Because you've been saying yes and taking on everything consistently and building up to a point where, okay, yeah, I kind of deserve this. I don't really think about it that way, but if I have to step back and kind of explain it, I do think about it that way. And I don't know, there's something that feels good about that, but I know I'm going to get back to building more, taking on more, growing more, and then one day I'll just die and I'll never get to see the benefits of it. But that's fine.
Sure.
Because I enjoy it along the way.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the way it goes. There's no getting around that inevitability. But
I think adding streams of income, whether it's your permaculture, your books, your podcasts, your day job, all of it, just keep adding.
Right. Well, and again, that is currently the plan. I mean, all of these side projects are occurring while I'm at Ford. I have no intention of quitting anytime soon. Like, I intend to be there. I mean, maybe 10 years. I could see that being the case, but I don't want to wind up a decade from now having not built other systems of income that maybe even if I do quit and it winds up being some sort of pay cut, At least I've got something set up that's reliable and at least survivable.
Right. Or you know how much you can handle. So when you do make that leap, you have enough faith in yourself to be like, oh, yeah, I can plow forward no matter what.
Exactly. Right. So I'm not like, you know, showing up to work next week and quitting. That's not at all. I have no intent of that. I will be there for quite some time. And so my issue is actually, how do I take the limited free time that I do have when I'm not at Ford and leverage it to not only produce what I'm producing, but actually get it in front of people? And so basically, I have to be a marketer. And I don't know.
Use the money at Ford to buy a marketer.
Okay.
Like, if the more you take, here's the thing. You think about taking on more and more things, and you're going to peak, right? You're going to hit a ceiling. You're going to hit a limit. You're going to grow to the size of your fish tank. Mm. Okay. So you can grow to the size of the fish tank and then cut some things off that you're handling so you have more room to grow. Or you can simply figure out a way to do everything. And figuring out a way to do everything is there are people who know a whole lot more than you that you can use your money for to pay them to do what they do best, and you can focus on what you can do better, the things that only you can do.
I think the only qualifier there is that there needs to be a vision for what you want to do. So a marketer knows what to do. So a copywriter knows what to do. They can't know what to do for you. So I think that's the other part of this, too, that we haven't... Like, I agree with a lot of the advice that has been given, just as far as, like... And you do, too. You're not leaving your job, right? But as far as, like, clarifying the vision for you for what you want to do, just as far as, like... using your time most effectively while you have less of it than you'd like to have to pursue these projects. Like, that's a part of this as well. So I don't know how much like time or thought you've actually put into that. Like, what do you have that the world wants, right? So like, what's the intersection of, you know, what you're good at, what you like to do, and what people would actually pay you for outside of Ford? Right. And that was one of the reasons why all this was so compelling to me, because it's really, really like what you do is important intellectual work. And maybe it's a somewhat cynical view of the world, but to look out at the world and say, who wants that? Because I'm in the same position right now going, yeah, that was good 10 years ago. But no, but people just want, you know, to chase current events. Right. So like a lot of the things that now there's still room for all kinds of like personal developments and DIY podcasts and stuff like that. But like it seems like so much attention has just gone towards chasing current events. And if you're not doing that, then there's too many other options for too many people's time. So are there a few people succeeding in doing like this very deep dive intellectual work? Yeah. And I think we know all their names.
Yep.
You know, so what is the way that you build that bridge to the wants of people who are out there? And it's like people, I think, are thirsting for truth right now. Right. And maybe in ways that they never have before, you know, and I guess, you know, figuring out how to get that hydration to them is important. But I don't think they even know what they're looking for. I just think that more and more people are fortunately waking up to the amount of bullshit that surrounds them. I think that's really accelerated in the last five or six years. But a lot of people who certainly have the intellectual capacity to deal with the content you're putting out, they don't even know that they're looking for it. Right? Okay, they're not even asking. Because that's the thing with School Sucks. Like, part of my project going forward is like, how do I curate this and be able to present it to people who actually have questions and problems, right? That they would come to this place and go, oh, I could find answers here, even if I had to invest a little bit of time. So it's not just like, you know, yeah, you're doing a Q&A. I'm not saying it has to be that simple, but it is a question like that. Like, how do you build that bridge of connection to like, this is what I have, this is what I do really well, this is what I like to do, but also there's a path to getting paid here. You know, there's a path to growing this. Now, I think like on the front, we've kind of solved that problem because like you could have a lot of money put away and a lot of work already done when you're, you know, going to pack it up and leave Ford.
You have like, a lot of time to build that runway.
Yeah. A lot of momentum. That was the word Andrew used. Momentum, a nest egg, You could be in a really good position to do that. But you also, like, just on kind of the emotional side, I get, like, I see in you that you have a hunger to do this, right? You have a hunger to get your voice out there. That's important to you, and I understand that need.
But also, you're 26. Who's to say in 6 years from now you haven't found something that you're more passionate about that earns even more money, and this goal just becomes something you do purely for fun, and that's the most rewarding way to do it?
You mean the intellectual stuff would just be for fun?
Yeah.
Well, you know, honestly, that's kind of the hope. Like, if I could do some sort of permacultural thing and let that be my living, that would be a dream come true.
Right.
I don't want to have to make money off of this stuff because, like I said, that means I got to market it. That means or find someone to market it or whatever. I would be doing this regardless.
So this is the idea of trying to create multiple streams of income, because that gives you a real true reason, a motivating reason to explore all these different ways as much as you can and see what you like the most, what you gravitate towards the most. What do you spend your time focusing on and building the most? And maybe it is the intellectual stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the permaculture stuff. But you end up finding by trial and error. And I'll tell you, what you want at 26 is very different than what you might want at 36.
I think there's a very good chance, though, if you flipped a switch and you had to make all your money from this stuff you love to do, you might love to do it a lot less.
Yes.
Really, really quickly.
That is also a fear. Yeah. There are lots of fears, and that's one of them. Yes. And yeah, sure, in 10 years I could have completely different interests, but 20 years from now I could have different interests from those. There's always the potential for changing or growing a project, growing stale or whatever, but this is the project I'm on right now. This is the stuff that I enjoy right now, and I, as you said, max out everything. Well, and I'm going to try to max this out before I start thinking about some maybe better interest I have in 10 years from now. You know, I don't want to worry so much about maybe one day I'll no longer be interested in this stuff. I am interested in it now. And so I do want to exhaust everything I can in this area while it is my interest.
I guess what I'm saying is don't do it at the expense of other opportunities, too.
Sure. Well, you're right, and I try not to.
Yeah. And maybe there's a bit of a feeling like, you know, You talked about like some frustration with not reaching as many people, obviously, as I think you should be reaching, right, with what you're doing. And, you know, so maybe it's like that bridge is actually giving people more of what they want, you know, as far as like meeting them where they are with wanting to talk about current events. So Andrew makes a good point. You're only 26, but the world is, you know, 2021, and a lot of people feel like they might be running out of time. You know, they might be running out of time to have that voice. And that might be an absolutely false concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
There might be, you know, plenty of time left. But it's kind of like the pressure to say something important. Do you feel like it's building up? Because that's something that I hear from a lot of people who are trying to speak out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that, I mean, to your point about trying to define what it is that I have to offer or whatever, I think that I do have something in this intellectual work that is relevant, and I could, if we had a lot of time, I could sit here and, you know, coalesce it eventually into some sort of salient point. I know what it is. If you listen to my podcast, Story of Nowhere, storyofnowhere.com, or read my book, The Story of Nowhere, available at thestoryofnowhere.com, I get into that, and I try to summarize exactly what it is and what the practical purpose is behind this project. So I can do that, and I think that if I had some more time to really think about it and maybe write it down, I could come up with a really cogent explanation, or sort of a sales pitch, I guess, to myself as to what it is that I actually have to offer and what I see this project ultimately amounting to. But in the meantime, I think that, as you said, people are just chasing headlines. People want the current events. And while those things are relevant to the work I'm doing and I can talk about that stuff, what I have to offer is a more cohesive and perhaps sense-making apparatus through which people can understand those current events. It's not just the news.
Exactly. Yeah.
Taking each headline for what it is, but rather what I'm presenting in this book is a historiographical thesis. I mean, you know what it is. We've done how many shows on it, on In Pursuit of Utopia. I really think, and even since then, since we did those shows, I've fleshed it out much more. And so I think that I've got something that will make sense of the conditions that we're going through right now. And so it is valuable, and I happen to enjoy it. So I just don't know how to translate that into something that's appealing to whatever mass of people I may potentially reach.
Keep doing it as a hobby.
Right. Well, that's where I'm already
at. Just leave the door open perpetually.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so should I not try to make any income off of it at all? Because I'm already doing it as a hobby, and I'm not going to stop. So should I kick it up and try to also make money off of it, or should I just leave well enough alone and keep doing what I'm doing?
Well, again, why not say yes to everything?
Okay. So what do you mean? Yes to...
Yes to trying to make money off of it, but yes to trying to improve everything else that's going on with you.
Okay. Well, right, but I think that's already where I'm at.
Perfect.
Solved.
Let's undo this whole show.
Well, I, considering that the original like plan for a shtick was to come up and act like we could solve everyone's problems in 30 minutes, there's some minimization that has to happen in that. So we've been at it for over an hour at this point, and I certainly don't want you to feel like anything was minimized. I know there's lots of different avenues that we could go down. I hope this was helpful.
Yes, absolutely.
We would like, at the end of the show, we like to get an accountability. So, like, what would be... And now, my only suggestion, but this could be further off for you, is to, like, try and clarify, like, how you connect to, you know, the public, or the public, you know, a niche with a demand for something that you can do, that you like to do, right? Which might focus your work a little bit better in the future, but it can be anything you want. Anything that, you like, inspired you about this conversation, Andrew probably has a suggestion.
What's standing between you and success with this book, for example? Like, what defines success with this book? How would you define it?
Success with the book? The ultimate success with this book would be rewriting it in a much, much, much bigger format. So that doesn't really help.
For what end goal?
Because it's fun.
Okay.
But, no, this is actually a really difficult question to ask. I'm not trying to be silly or anything. Genuinely, my vision of success with this book is taking it and building on it, and every idea in it getting blown out into a chapter of its own. Like, purely the intellectual pursuit, that's the success. And if the podcast is an extension of the book, which it is, if that can continue and I can continue working on these things, the ultimate expression of that success would be a gigantic corpus of work related to this book that is based on this book.
So it sounds like the goal is to create a lot of really good podcast content consistently.
Yes.
Going forward.
Yes. More so than I already have. And I'm already pretty consistent. It's just, how do I maximize that consistency? I don't have that much free time to work on it as diligently as I should, as it deserves to be worked on.
Okay. As it deserves. So I think that could be a trap, right? If you're thinking about it as, oh, this deserves more, this deserves better, is that preventing you from putting it out? Is that preventing you from doing it all together because you think it needs to be perfect?
I recognize that the perfect can be the enemy of the good, but when I'm dealing with particular historical events, there are simply matters of fact that I can avoidably get right, but if I don't do the adequate amount of research, I will simply get something wrong which ought not to
be. So I think you need to find the balance there.
Okay.
To being able to reveal enough detail without fucking up the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but don't let that stop you from just putting out content consistently, because that's clearly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to build upon this. You'll have plenty of opportunities to do deep dives.
Yeah.
But to consistently put out content and just build, then just do that. Build, 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 and make repairs as you go along the way.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm doing a deep dive episode now, and I think after that I won't be doing a deep dive for a little while. You know, it's very taxing. So
a deep dive sounds kind of like endless as far as the deadline is concerned.
Right. Especially it sounds like you could just go on forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's an excuse to procrastinate.
Yeah.
At least it would be for me.
Well, right. So when I started on this project, I already had episodes ready to go in the bag, though. So I was still able to release them consistently while working on this project.
But how long can you ration those?
Oh, they're up. They're gone. They're right. Done. Well, so in a case like this, and I've done this before, in previous deep dive episodes, if my 2 week, I like to have at least two things out in a month. And if it's looking like my rations are up, then I'll do a 40-minute car ride episode and just kind of BS. So I'll do that. I do try to keep it really consistent. And if that means throwing in an episode that otherwise wasn't going to be there, I do that.
Okay. So given that, I guess, Brett, you're more thoughtful than I am. What would you like to see Danny accomplish between now and some period of time in the future?
Well, a lot. And I think a lot of this is stuff that I'd like to talk with you more about, because it's a hard thing to explain, why you don't put out a podcast every day, even if you've got shit to say, right? It seems pretty irrational. That's it's probably good enough. Only this many people are going to hear it. Just do it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a really weird thing to be like, I just want to work on this thing a little bit longer, when maybe there's a cumulative reward over a long time for doing that, but it's also maybe hurting you in the short term a lot of ways, just as far as you're not getting content out enough, so you're pod fading, people are just kind of moving on to other stuff as they do. Yeah, that's a frustrating problem, and I don't think it's an easy one to solve, but when we talked today, it kind of felt like that was where you were at, right? I heard that and what you said, it's like, yeah, I'm just I'm working on things for too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't think it's too long. I'm happy with the amount of time it takes to complete a research project. What I mean is that with...
Is it like a fine-tuning kind of thing?
No, I honestly, I could be wrong about this, and as I get better at research, which just comes by doing it, I'll improve, but I honestly think that the way I go about approaching an episode and researching it is pretty good.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I'm sitting there and stalled out on one part of it, fine-tuning any given detail. I'm able to move through it pretty quickly. But nonetheless, even being thorough and doing the amount of research that needs to be done and then polishing it and turning it into a nice piece of rhetoric, so it's not just me reading bullet points, all the amount of time that necessarily takes winds up being a substantial amount, and compared to the number of listeners, it's just like, wow, I spent a month on that, and then no one really hears it. And I don't really put that much energy into getting it heard. I don't really do the social media thing.
Sure.
So this is what I meant about the time. I spend all the time making the content, but then that doesn't leave me any of the time or energy to promote the content.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, I would just say that clarifying a vision for what you want to do with this, I think, is really important. And I think that will help you produce more content. I feel like that was where I think you should teach, right? And you don't need to go anywhere near a school or a college to do that.
That's what I was thinking with the permaculture talk earlier.
What about it?
If that's something he's passionate about, then teach it, and that'll incentivize you to do it more.
But yeah, but
if someone else is kind of relying on you to do it.
With all this other work that you've done as well, right? And this is probably you're in autonomy, so this has probably already been a discussion, right?
Yeah. I've got ideas along that line, but maybe this is just my own self-limitation or my limiting thinking. But the idea of me teaching any sort of course regarding this stuff, in my mind, is 15 years out. I don't know why. But to me, it just seems like I'm not there yet. I'm not at the point where I'm ready to actually teach a comprehensive course. Maybe I am ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, where are the people?
Right.
I need to find people, regardless of what I'm doing.
Well,
I need to get people.
So, but that's kind of an end point, right? That's a way. So that, the podcast is a method, and that is the end, right? That's the end you're trying to get to. You're trying to sell a course. So there is a system for what you're doing. Now, this is just an example. I'm not saying this is the best thing that you can create, and who even knows what's going to be possible in a couple of years.
Right.
But that's an example of trying to create a system or a vision for what you're trying to do. But I think we should talk about this much more,
Please.
Not and not tonight, but you and I can definitely discuss this, and I'm glad we did it in front of this audience, and I hope this was helpful. I don't know if you have any final words.
No, but I also think if you worry too much about the people, it could be detrimental to the product, right? Like, there's all these people in this room right now, and I feel like I would do a much better show if it were just Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it was just him listening, and that's all that would ever hear this, this would be the greatest show ever. But only Eric would know.
Right.
So, just pretend it's only Eric out there, and you might put out the best possible content.
Well, fair, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not...
Sorry, that was a stupid joke.
No, it's okay.
This is a questionable formula for as a marketing strategy. I think it's fun and comforting, but I don't know. But I agree with what he's saying about don't worry about the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you work at Ford. You know people suck.
Yes.
Right? So it's the doing right now, I think, is also part of the momentum that Andrew is talking about. With like, so it's kind of like, I feel like I say this to a lot of people, like, put that part of it away. Like, some part of it needs to go away, and there's a part of it right now that you just need to be doing for the sake of doing, for the sake of the practice. And I wish that I had somebody all those years ago who said, look, just forget about the way you're trying to do this or trying to be a unique voice. Just do. Don't even put them out. Just do them.
Well, but that's what I'm already. This is the hurdle I'm trying to overcome. Is not that I'm too worried about the people. My problem up to this point is that I haven't concerned myself with people at all. I mean, I make this stuff and then I don't show anyone. I do it and then I put it away. You know, I don't.
Well, maybe don't start every episode with "fuck you, listeners."
Well, you got to weed them out, man. You don't want just any old person listening in. You don't know what I say on that thing.
No, I think you're better off continuing down that track, but don't give up anything in the process is basically my bottom line here. I think you're in a good spot.
Yeah. There's some wisdom in that. We did a comedy podcast. We do a comedy podcast where the tagline used to be, "This show's not for you."
And we might again.
Yeah. "This show's not for you" was the tagline.
Well, that's good. I like that sort of thing.
And it became the funniest comedy podcast on the internet.
We're changing the tagline to "This show's for Eric."
No, I definitely don't want a gigantic audience. And I appreciate the sort of jadedness and irony. I guess, is it irony of saying "this show's not for you"? The fact is, it's probably not for most people. If it's funny, then right. It's probably not for most people because most people aren't funny.
Right.
And certainly don't have a good sense of humor. So, yeah, I'm not trying to please everybody. I wouldn't want to. It would be a bad show if I did.
Which is the worst approach.
It's almost, yeah. You might say it's utopian.
Yeah.
yeah, so that's never my goal. My goal is to just, I don't know, get someone to check the thing out. That'd be cool. And there are people. I'm not trying to, you know, if you are a listener, thank you. You're the greatest. So
rely on those greatest people. Ask those greatest people for help.
Yeah,
repeatedly.
Sure. Yeah.
Spread the word. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. So do I have to be accountable for something now?
Yeah, I would. I think that's how we like to end a show, just with some form of accountability. Something we know that you'll take up before you and I talk again, say in a couple weeks.
Well, I could take a leap here and do something that could be verified or not verified before we leave and say that I'll sell a certain amount of books.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
How much are these books?
They're $15.
I just wanted to make sure I had that much money. I'm going to buy one right now, but would you sign it for me to finish the show?
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Get my old pen here. So I will sell. How many should I sell? I brought 20, which seems.
Sell them all.
Sell 40.
All right. All right. I will sell 20 books before we leave.
You can find Danny tomorrow at the local Sinclair gas station selling these books.
All right. Danny McCarthy, everybody. Thank you for coming and watching The Discomfort Zone.
Thank you. Up next, some comedy thing, right?
Yeah.
So we need to get the F off.
All right. Thank you.